Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Positively Trek with your hosts, Dan Gunther and Barry DeFord. It has been a crazy month. You may have noticed we haven't been around for podcasts the last couple weeks, but we're going to make up for lost time here because I think we've got a really important episode to bring you. So, first of all, Barry DeFord, the newly married co-host of Positively Trek. Welcome back and congratulations, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, Dan. And I really appreciated you and Nikki coming to the wedding. We love to have you. And really just, it meant a lot. The whole day I've been kind of, it's funny, my wife and I have been talking very much about how we've like relived little moments of the day and have sort of been intentionally doing it. So she and I will actually like sit down and talk a little bit about the day and how it meant and what it meant to us. And we've reread our vows to each other. And I think that's really important as well. So, you know, it's been good. We've been traveling. We've been going from place to place. I haven't watched a hot minute of Strange New Worlds yet, and that will be rectified starting tomorrow morning. I have no prior engagements, so I'm going to get all caught up tomorrow morning. So I'm very excited for that. So sorry I can't talk about Strange New Worlds, but obviously I'm a person with eyes and a social media account, so I do know that Boimler. I am aware that Boimler and Mariner make a surprise appearance, and I have spotted some other pieces that maybe have somewhat spoiled it, but I'm still really, really here for it, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Excellent. I cannot wait to talk to you about those episodes. Luckily, of course, this isn't an episode review podcast, so no worries about that. We keep the spoilers to a minimum as far as that is concerned anyway. So yeah, seriously though, text me as soon as you've watched those episodes.
Well, I mean, who knows? It's, it is the summer holidays for us and we have a bit of extra time here and there. Perhaps, even having a co-viewing might be in order.
That would be really cool. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're going to do things a little differently in this episode, and usually we start out with all of the news and things going on in the Star Trek universe, and we will get to that later in the episode. But there is, of course, a big thing going on right now in the world of Hollywood and production all across North America, basically. And that is, of course, the writer's strike. What started as the WGA writer's strike, but has now expanded to the SAG-AFTRA strike as well, as the actors have now joined the writers on the picket line. And as you can imagine, this has a big impact on Star Trek and everything else to do with that business. More importantly, on the lives and the livelihoods of those writers and actors who are taking part. So I kind of want to start us off in this episode talking about that because I have some feelings and some twistiness in my guts about you know, what our role should be in all of that and what's going on. And so I'm kind of opening this up for a general discussion between the two of us, because Barry, I know you are someone who is very thoughtful and very measured in how you think of these things, and also coming to it from, you know, a perspective of solidarity with striking workers, in this case, the writers and actors, as do I, of course. So yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could start by just building a little bit of a context and a framework here before we kind of go further and move into all the different pieces. It's basically, I want to make sure that we set a course here as we go forward. And you've added some pieces in here that can help us in the outline. But I think maybe something that we all maybe need to start in agreement with is the reason for the strike has a lot to do with the new contradicting conditions that streaming has done for how revenue is taken in, for episodes, for commercials, and our relationship to media has become extremely highly connected over a brief period of time. And I mean, like, we were all alive, you and I, and I think most of us were alive for that sort of transitional shift in the 2000s from, you know, going and buying a hard DVD from somewhere or getting it from Netflix in the mail or something to just making it a streaming thing through the teens. And I think what we've basically done is that frontier has kind of reached its logical limits for revenue. And again, I've mentioned this in the previous episode that in economy, all profit will always skew downward. It always skews to zero. And Milton Friedman would tell you that as much as Karl Marx would tell you that, if I could put it that way, like right wing or whatever, liberal, communist, like that's an understanding of how economies work. That isn't an ideological belief necessarily. So the immediate response by the shareholders is to find ways to ensure that none of their income is affected, right? And I think that's the first thing we need to just say as the foundation here is that you and I can agree that the way in which this is getting handled, especially for actors and writers, is they've been done very, very dirty. They are not getting a fair shake. Mm-hmm. And they are, how very quickly these dear, near and dear people to us, writers and actors, are very much cast aside by the larger people. And I think we as Star Trek fans, having good community with our Star Trek actor friends and neighbors, you know, like STLV is under a few days away from the time of recording, and it's probably happening when this gets released, I would imagine. I remember walking down the hallway and just saying hello to Nicole DeBoer and just being like, hello. And she's like, hi there. And like, it was just a friendly little interaction that lasted the walk. Right. And then that was it. But we have to understand that these are people who aren't making as much as like Brad Pitt or like the super actors and stuff like that. Like, they are, a lot of these actors are not making a lot. A lot of actors don't have job security to begin with. So they deserve this action, I think. And I think you can agree. And I hope that, you know, if you are a person listening to this, this is where we're coming from. So anything said further from here, if you disagree, definitely let us know, talk to us, but understand that like, we aren't going to be playing both sides of the story. We're not going to be talking about both sides of it. I'm a very biased person and I just wear that bias on my sleeve. So I'm going to shut up now, but that's where I'm coming from, that this is a legit strike. We have to be in solidarity. Most of the actors who suffer under these horrible conditions and pay don't make a hell of a lot of money. And if, like, don't worry about Margot Robbie or Cillian Murphy. Like, they're fine. Also, mad props to Cillian Murphy for freaking just walking out of an event or something once he heard it was happening. Like, mad props to that guy.
Absolutely.
But like, they'll be fine. I'm worried about your actor who's, you know, got a bit part on Young Sheldon or something like that, right? Like, that's who we're really fighting for here, right?
Yeah, there's so many stories that are coming out because there is this public perception that persists that actors are the richest of the rich and they make millions. And that's true for a very small subset of actors, like less than a tenth of 1% kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I've been seeing this kind of online and stuff. And I mean, how much of that is actual real people and how much of that is bad actors? And by bad actors, I don't mean, wait, maybe that's the wrong phrase to use. I don't mean
good
people who act, but yeah, people who are maybe kind of doing some, let's just say, disturbing out there in the social media landscape that are trying to stoke things or whatever. But it's not true. Actors on the whole are starving, like most artists, right? So it's definitely a misconception. And also regarding what you were saying about where you're coming from and your bias and stuff, this is where, you know, a lot of different organizations would say the views expressed by the hosts do not necessarily. No, it's not true. The views expressed by both of us, and I am in complete agreement with my co-host Barry here, do reflect the feelings of Positively Trek. So
yeah,
that's where we stand for sure.
And I think where we're coming from here, you know, has a lot to do with the quarterly business commodity culture that we can be critical of, and I don't want to get us wallowed into that mire here. We're here to talk about the strike itself, and I think we're here to talk about how that affects Star Trek. And I think, you know, we can draw a very material and concrete line to the canceling of Prodigy, the sudden and very callous canceling, might I add, of Star Trek Prodigy, like literally taking the thing that could be, you know, the investment stock that they could put in keeping Star Trek going for the next 25 years by getting the next generation, pun intended, interested. It gives you an idea of just how much, you know, the actors have come forward and said, you know, oh, being an actor in Star Trek has been a character building and formative experience for me. Like, I'll never forget Max Gradanchik when he talked about how, like, Rom has made him a better person, right? And that's so, and like he burst into tears, right? Like, he's the man I want to be. And I'm like, holy hell, like that's absolutely amazing. But like, the shareholders of Paramount don't give a flying F about any of that. And like, you know, a CEO, their fiduciary duty is to ensure profit for the shareholders. That's the job of a chief executive officer. And so, you know, we can get mad about this and say like, well, they're being meanies and all this sort of stuff, or we can get real and we can stand up. Like, we have to also understand that there are other strikes happening. There's been strikes with Starbucks. And I think there's the same idea of like, oh, well, a barista, like, what work do they really do? They just make my coffee. They don't need a medical health plan. What the hell? Right? Like, that is, again, just that rugged, individualistic, you know, disconnected idea that, no, some people, like, a minimum wage needs to be a livable wage. You can't, like, yeah, you're making coffee. Well, if they're just making coffee for you and it's this useless, meaningless job, well, then do it yourself, right? Like, but even there, right? Like, we're getting rid of checkout people. And so there's all these self-checkout grocery store checkout places, and people are stealing food because it's super expensive. So now they're trying to go back to having cashiers again, because it's all this sort of stuff where you really start to see the people at the top who have all the money and are pulling all the strings, they don't know what they're doing. And it is important for actors and for workers, and, you know, UPS is also going on strike as well, as far as I understand, for the horrible. And again, that connects to how much their jobs have changed since the advent of people like ordering stuff, you know, and just getting it delivered to their door. So what this really truly is, and coming from a perspective like myself, having a lot of political background, the material conditions that have brought us here, it all really makes sense. People are getting written out of the equation so that people with a lot can keep having a lot, and they're not going to take it. And I fully support that. And I fully believe that that is what we as Star Trek fans have to look at, is if we truly love the people who tell us our stories, writers and actors alike, if we truly love them and we truly want what's best for them, and they're, you know, making these meaningful connections with us, then we need to stand in solidarity with them and maybe look at our own jobs and our own lives and our own places of work and our own functions in our society and wonder as well, like, are we getting a fair shake? You know, I mean, I don't want to incite strike. That's not what I'm doing. But maybe this can raise all of our consciousness a little bit, right? And make us think a little more and less about the inconvenience. Like, strikes are supposed to be inconvenient. They're supposed, like, that's the point, right? Like, they're not dinner parties where everyone just, you know, looks at each other and agrees. It's not that Pepsi commercial where one of the Jenners, I think, like, hands a cop a Pepsi and everyone's friends again or something. Like, that's not how it works, right? Like, people are going to get punched, right? People are going to get hurt. You know, friendships are going to go crazy. You know, like, some people are going to have to foreclose on their mortgage, like that one CEO said in that very, like, cavalier kind of way of, like, let's just watch them lose their houses. I mean, I will say a successful strike starts a decade before the strike actually starts. So I am hopeful that these unions are capable and have a war chest ready. And you know, yeah, maybe, like, you know, Ron Perlman saying what he said, well, you know, if he does have a bit more money or if these other actors do, well, then saddle up and help your fellow union members if you can, if you've got the money.
Absolutely. You made a really interesting point and a point that I saw echoed in a recent brilliant video by friend of the podcast, Steve Shives.
Yeah.
And yeah, great guy.
Love you, Steve.
He made this video recently about CEOs and the people in charge of these media companies that produce the shows and films that we all love. His point, and it never really drove home to me what that perspective is like of that CEO. And it's really fascinating. He recounted this anecdote that he'd heard from an actor that he loved from a writer on the television show The Fugitive, and how, you know, the studio was going to end the show after a certain number of seasons, whatever, it was going to come to an end. They'd said it was gonna finish, and they went to the studio and said, well, we need to make, you know, this is going to be our final episode. We have to wrap up all these storylines in a really satisfactory way. And the CEO basically said, why? Is that something people care about? I didn't like, and yeah, like, this was a show that was watched by like a quarter of the population of the United States at the time.
They want closure.
They actually, and the CEO couldn't wrap his mind around the fact that people cared about these characters that were fake, that just appeared on their flickering boxes every night, every week. And to them, it's a product that they're putting out and they're selling. They're not interested. And I mean, there are exceptions. There are always exceptions that prove the rule, but for the most part, the big overarching entity that is the studio isn't concerned with the creativity, the work, the passion that goes into making these things that most writers and most actors put into it when they're creating this product that they're going to now sell and make money off of. It was a really fascinating video. I will absolutely link it in the show notes. It's such a good video, but really drove home to me the perspective and how it's really hard to see things from the other side's perspective, regardless of which side you're on, because to me, that mindset is completely alien. Like, I can't imagine not knowing that people care about characters on a show. Like, of course they do. But with regards to Star Trek, there's this passion and this work and this love that's put into the show and the films by the people who create it. And I'm torn, honestly, between honoring that commitment and that work by continuing to promote these shows and to talk about them and expound the things that I love about the latest episode of Strange New Worlds and the things that I didn't like so much. And I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on what we should be doing as far as solidarity with the strike? And there's a few different perspectives out there. One, and I tried to find this tweet and I couldn't, I can't remember if it was Terry Metalis or Aaron Waltke. It was one of the writers on either Prodigy or Picard who was basically saying, in response to somebody asking him, basically saying that there's no general boycott being asked for right now. Please enjoy the shows. Please talk about them. And he also mentioned that, you know, media is not part of the union, and it's actually helpful to the people who have made these shows to get people to still continue to watch them and continue to drive those numbers up, because it will show the studios that the work that they've put into these shows is worth something and it's profitable, and they will want to continue making these things with the writers and the actors. And then there's the other side of me that's thinking, like, you know, the actors aren't allowed to promote anything. They're not allowed to do interviews. They're not allowed to do any kind of press junkets. Should we be doing that as well or not?
Well, first of all, I am not a member of any acting or writing union. I am. So that's the first bit. So I'm not beholden to any of the rules within their collective agreement or their union charter. So I would say, first of all, Dan, you're off the hook there in that sense. But in terms
legally
of,
speaking, yeah. Morally speaking, though.
Well, in terms of solidarity, I think we now are going to have two episodes under our belts that we talk very openly about how much we support the actors and the writers in their strike and how we have encouraged people to look into it more and find ways to show their solidarity and then to, you know, broaden that. And so I think this is how you do it, right? Is, you know, we aren't going to blithely could just talk about Star Trek still without bringing this up. And if I could bring up one thing as well, there are a lot of people who have put a lot of love into Star Trek and all that sort of stuff. And then there are also just some actors who really just needed a job. And I'm super happy that they were able to land a job and a role in Star Trek. And I hope it was good. And I hope their needs were met. Right. I think that's the other piece of it, too, is that, like, this is also people who are just trying to make a frickin' living. Yeah. And if they are not able to do that, if they're worried, like the other problem with AI and stuff like that, and I've looked into this more, is this idea that you do have these extremely disconnected, wildly out of touch CEOs who believe themselves to be these individuals who just wander the earth and encounter, you know, this and that. I should talk to you about, I read a thing about Elon Musk encountering a Pop-Tart and apparently it at a hotel and it was apparently very funny because he just kept burning himself. But anyways,
oh my God,
they aren't very adept at all of those things. And I'm not saying that every single CEO is, but you have to be a little sociopathic to be able to always make profit your bottom line. I'm sorry, like whether you are or aren't, I'm not saying that. But there are certain tendencies. You have to be pretty cutthroat to be in that kind of position. And so, I think we also have to acknowledge the fact that some of our Star Trek actors are just trying, like they have a job and that's their job. And they'd love, you know, they'd love to land something that's long-term, but they don't really care if it's Star Trek. I do find that some actors after some time with Star Trek end up becoming sort of like fans. And I think it has a lot to do and it's a credit to our fandom. But ultimately, we need to talk about Star Trek. We need to keep talking about how important this specific franchise genre is and start, you know, maybe imagining as well, like, you know, can we tell these stories without some kind of profit-driven bottom line? The answer is a very emphatic yes, right? There are a ton of Star Trek fan films and TV shows and, you know, controversy notwithstanding, obviously there's a couple of elephants in the room when it comes to Star Trek fan-made films and the people who made those fan films being what turns out to be absolutely wretched human beings. But in that respect, it still exists and it's still possible. And Paramount turned a blind eye for a number of years and all that sort of stuff. So it is possible to tell, I think, meaningful, lasting, memorable Star Trek stories without a profit motive. So moving forward, I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. I think ultimately we also need to tighten our belts a little bit and not expect a lot of movement over the next little while. But, you know, we as Star Trek fans have been super lucky since the dawn of Discovery. And I have to say it's been an extremely good ride having so much Star Trek to constantly look forward to the point that I'm unable to personally keep up with it. So if it means we need to wait a year, if it means we need to wait 2 years, if it means we have to wait, you know, however long it takes for these actors and writers to be able to be gainfully employed and have a fair shake for the job and the work they do, then that's fine. And that's where we as podcasters can come in. We can scratch that Star Trek itch to some degree with our communication and conversation while the actors fight for what they want, because the CEOs and the companies, they can't touch us, right? We're not doing anything illegal and they're not going to tell us not to talk about their brand. They've got money to make, don't they? So ultimately, maybe that's what we all can do on the socials, podcasters, you know, whatever, but also just you listening to us, like go on and engage in Star Trek community stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And talk about it, but don't leave the actors and the writers out. Make sure you bring it up. Be like, wow, I sure wish this strike would stop so we'd get some more cool Star Trek, you know, like stick it to them a little bit, but also yeah. know that we're going to have to be patient and our, you know, our financial livelihoods aren't on the line here. So it's the least we can do. So that's what I would say is actually let's ramp it up. Let's, you know, let's do that. And if this is a thing, and maybe our platform isn't the biggest in the universe, but if there are podcasters out there who want to talk to the union about getting a Star Trek actor on representing the union, talking about what their demands are and stuff like that, well, hell yeah. Look at the Star Trek actors who are standing up and being a part of it, right? Like mm-hmm. I saw, I think it was Sinequa Martin Green, and I mean, I've seen a lot with Anthony Rapp, but I mean, yeah. like note my complete lack of surprise that Anthony Rapp is the GOAT. But anyway, but you know, it's those kinds of things where, yeah, I mean, like, I think, you know, again, anyone who's in podcasting, I think should also be in Star Trek podcasting should also be doing this is being like, okay, well, let's platform the Strikers. Let's mm-hmm. make sure that their voices are heard and we get that message out. Because that's the other thing is I think there are people who are frustrated or who will be frustrated by this. But that comes for a lot more from a lack of education and a lack for understanding the conditions, right? Like there's mm-hmm. going to be some people pretty pissed off that their items aren't going to be found by the UPS or not going to be delivered by UPS in the coming, you know, weeks and stuff, as long as they're having a strike. But I would be pretty sure that if anyone saw the conditions in which UPS workers were working, they would probably be like, oh, hell yeah, you should be striking. Actually, that's horrible.
Well, also, I want to do a special shout out to Michelle Hurd, Rafi Musiker from Star Trek Picard, who's actually on the negotiating committee with the unions there. So if you want a follow on Twitter or whatever the heck they're calling that now, and to really keep up to date on a lot of the stuff going on, mm-hmm. check out Michelle Hurd's whatever the crap it's called. Check out her Twitter page. I don't know.
But we should talk to her.
Yeah, that would be incredible.
And, I mean, if she's on the negotiating subcommittee, I'm not going to...
Probably busy too, but
she might be a little busy, yeah.
But yeah, but yeah, she's right there in the thick of it, and some incredible stuff going on.
Just like Rafi,
man,
in the thick of it.
It's almost like they cast her well in that role.
Yeah, it's almost like she was probably one of the most interesting new Star Trek characters to come in a number of years.
Well, another thing that we kind of obliquely mentioned, but I want to talk about a little bit more and kind of dig into is conventions, Star Trek conventions, right? That's a big part of a Star Trek fan's life. And will those actors still be going to conventions? What will they be doing there? Now, there was initially a bit of confusion in kind of the opening hours of the actors' strike. There was some back and forth. There were several actors saying like, oh, we can't go to conventions. And some saying, oh, I still think we can, looking for guidance from the union. And the union actually did hand down specific guidelines for actors going to conventions. Now, they are not allowed to do something like San Diego Comic-Con, where they are sent there by the studios to promote X, Y, and Z, right? Or anything like that. However, a convention such as Star Trek Las Vegas, like as you say, is probably happening as this is coming out, actors are able to attend. However, there's some very specific rules about like what they can have on offer to sign. So they can't have any pictures on offer that are a currently struck work, and they're not allowed to talk about currently struck work on stage. Now, when I read that, I was thinking, okay, so anything that's currently being made that's affected by the strike. But if you dig into that, their definition of struck work is any work that is currently being made or has been made in the past that, if the strike happened, would be affected.
Like so, Picard, like another season of Picard or something even.
Like another season of Picard or season 2 of Star Trek, the original series. So anything. Very limiting as far as what they're able to discuss or talk about. So I'm guessing actors' headshots will be pretty much all they're offering at their table. Mm. they do say that they are allowed to sign headshots or you know, images from struck work that fans bring for them to sign. So yeah. Those of you who are attending a convention this year, keep that in mind. Maybe you want to kind of get those things ahead of time if that's something that you want. As far as the Q&A panels go, though, I guess we're going to be learning a lot about Gates McFadden's yoga routine and Jonathan Frakes' recipe for, I don't know, interesting times. I'd be really interested to see what one of those panels looks like.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing is we need to, again, kind of lower our expectations and be a little more patient there. Strikes are busy, busy times. So I appreciate mm-hmm. Armin Shimmerman. He kind of clarified and was like, well, no, the convention is different, yada, yada. I appreciate that. But there are actors who are just simply going to be too busy. They can't, you know, necessarily, you know, they're not going to get any promotional flight, maybe from Creation, they might get like their room and their flight comped and stuff. And that wouldn't be a conflict, I don't think. But, you know, I mean, yeah, this is going to tie some hands. It's going to be a little bit more awkward, but like, is this going to be any more awkward than when we just simply had to shut it down for COVID? Like, I guess like we can handle this. We can hack it. Let's be patient with the actors. Let's make sure that they feel some love. Like the ones who make it, like, I mean, I know all the STLV people are going to just totally crush it. It's going to be a wonderful get together. Everyone's going to be happy. And yeah, maybe this does give the actors a bit more of a chance to platform, though I'm sure Creation doesn't want to get its fingers, you know, muddy in all of this. So they're probably getting them to sign some kind of legalese form that basically says that I'm not going to promote the strike in any way, shape, either. I'll just be neutral and yada, yada. But like, I don't know. You don't have a lot of time with them anyway when you're getting your picture taken. I don't think there will be a lot of time for those kind of larger conversations. And to be honest with you, I'd be real surprised if there was a Q&A. I think things are just going to be a little more truncated, maybe a little more squished, and there's going to be maybe a little more tension in the air. The STV crowd definitely knows how to cut that tension. So I'm not worried.
Well, one other thing that I kind of wanted to talk about, and we've touched on a little bit, the idea of making do with less over the next little while. And it's something we talked about a few episodes ago with Bruce Gibson as well, that, you know, my prediction may be coming a little true. We're in for some leaner times when it comes to Star Trek. And I'm honestly of the opinion, I totally think that this is a very real possibility and will certainly work in some cases. I'm thinking the fact that fans and viewers are going to be uncomfortable with that and see less Star Trek is something that the studios are going to use in their favor to create pushback against the striking writers and actors. And I think we as Star Trek fans and everybody listening to this need to really be cognizant of that and really kind of push back against that idea and stand in solidarity with the people who are striking for basic living conditions, let's be honest here. And I mean, the fact that we might be going without or with significantly less Star Trek in 2024 should not be a reason to turn on the people who really need our support right now. And those people are, as I've said, and will continue to say, the writers and the actors who are currently striking.
Well, I mean, and I know we're a positive podcast, but I'm sorry, but if you don't stand in solidarity with people who, again, are just looking for fair wages, fair benefits, job security, and you know, the means to be able to live their lives, you're a pretty fickle person, I gotta say. yuck.
Yeah. And by all means, get angry that there is less Star Trek in 2024 and going forward, but direct that anger where it belongs, which is at the CEOs and the studios who are refusing to meet the demands of the strikers.
Absolutely. And I guess, like, just to sort of put a little bow on top of that, there's a lot of things that we find inconvenient, and not getting the show you like new episodes of is inconvenient, but it's not existential, right? Like, I'm a lot more worried about crop failure right now and the wildfires, and apparently the Atlantic Ocean's main current could, like, basically stop by 2025. And like, there's actual like existential things too. Like, I wouldn't say like, don't try not to worry, but like at the same time, like
perspective.
Yeah. It's a lot of perspective. And like for myself, especially with the fickle nature of, these studios and their streaming platforms and everything else, I've made it my personal mission now that I am very slowly going to acquire, from garage sale to flea market to actual retail outlets. I am going to build my Star Trek DVD collection pretty much totally and have my own hard copies, because I don't like playing this game of hopscotch.
It's definitely something that I've been more aware of. I've generally been picking up the Star Trek Blu-rays as they come out. Mm-hmm. But there had been a couple holes in my collection that I have now made plans to fill because, yeah.
Fool me once, shame on me.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not calling for a boycott of the studio's streaming services and stuff. But that is a possibility that may happen at some point. And I would like to think that a lot of us Star Trek fans will be willing and able to do that. But again, we're not there. Don't cancel Paramount Plus because of this. Cancel it because they canceled Prodigy. No, I'm just kidding. interesting times. That's all I have to say.
Write letters. We did that once and got season 3 of the original series.
100%. Actually, interestingly, in kind of somewhat related news, the current petition to save Star Trek Prodigy has now passed the petition to cast Anson Mount in a Star Trek series that became Strange New Worlds. And it has also passed the petition to renew the Orville, which had happened at the time. So interesting stuff. Paramount, maybe made a bit of a mistake there, but
yeah, maybe they should eat some crow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, is there anything else that we want to say regarding the strike before we move on to the week's news?
Other than just solidarity with all working people who are trying to live their lives and make ends meet and be able to live with dignity and have a little left over for some fun. I mean, I don't think that's a lot to ask in this world. And actors are people and writers are people, and they're just trying to get stuff that they need for their lives. And the majority of actors aren't filthy rich, you know, whatever's, they're just people like you and me. And they could use a lot of support and solidarity here. Same thing though with UPS strikers, any other strikers who are currently fighting for a better future, right? Like, that's what we got to look for and look toward. Mm-hmm.
100%. Yeah. For every Brad Pitt, there are literally thousands of people that are just trying to make ends meet in this profession. And it's tough out there, guys. Solidarity for sure.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you so much for downloading this episode of Positively Trek. We truly do appreciate each and every one of our listeners, and I'd like to especially thank our Patreon supporters. Thank you to our Constitution Class supporters, Jim Stoffel, Joyce Marin, and Paul D. Kinnear. If you'd like to become a supporter of Positively Trek and join our crew, please go to patreon.com/positivelytrek. You can get early access to episodes, exclusive content, shoutouts, associate producer credits, ad-free episodes, and more. Again, that's patreon.com/positivelytrek. Thank you all, and live long and prosper.
Let's talk about some news. There's some cool things coming up.
There are. And the first one I want to talk about has to do with Star Trek Strange New Worlds. And this is a confirmation of something that was suspected when all of the episode titles for the season leaked a few months back. The second last episode of the season is entitled Subspace Rhapsody, and it is indeed confirmed to be a musical. And Paramount released a trailer for that episode.
With song. Do you know the odds of all of us being here at this time? I keep us connected. It's improbable. And yet. Here we are.
It's okay. I liked Buffy's musical episode back in the day, so I personally, and just kind of the tone that Strange New Worlds is setting, obviously. There's a certain amount that it just doesn't take itself very seriously, and I appreciate that. We can really see that the Paramount has definitely noticed that Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks are definitely like the big shining stars for everyone right now. So they're definitely going to like drive that one all the way home. I don't know. It's either it's going to hit or it's going to miss. Like it's hard to get a musical episode in the middle, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I said to Brandy when we were talking about this on the live show earlier too, which is I'm going to watch this and I'm going to enjoy watching every minute of it because, yeah, it's either going to be amazing or it's going to be a glorious train wreck. Either way, it's going to be worth watching. I mean, I have trust in the folks who produce, star in, and write Strange New Worlds. They haven't let me down yet. It's an incredible show. They've really captured lightning in a bottle with these actors and these writers and what they've put out so far. So I don't see why I wouldn't trust them to do an amazing job with this as well. So
yeah. Honestly, I'm pretty excited to get little changes and stuff like that. And I just, as of recording this again just today, I saw the Barbie movie, so I'm ready for some high concept stuff. It's a weird movie. Anyway, moving on.
Well, yeah, Subspace Rhapsody, as I said, is the second last episode of the season. It airs on Thursday, August 3rd. So when this episode comes out, it'll be the next episode to air of Strange New Worlds. And along with the actual episode itself, they are releasing the Subspace Rhapsody soundtrack. So on the news story that I've put in the show notes, there is a link in there to pre-save the Subspace Rhapsody soundtrack on your preferred digital music streaming platform. So I bet you that'll be worth it. And that'll be pretty cool. Well, moving on from Strange New Worlds, we have a new season of Lower Decks coming, and that is coming in September. So hot on the heels of the end of season 2 of Strange New Worlds. And we've got a trailer for season 4 as well.
At the edge of the universe,
Starfleet intercepted a distress call command thinks could be related to the recent attacks.
At the brink of destruction.
The attacks have all been non-Federation ships, but now someone's targeting Starfleet.
They're sending the Cerritos? I guess we're finally getting some respect.
Oh, man, I have to start with holodeck waste removal. Blech.
Your odor will be repulsive.
These are the voyages of the crew of the starship Cerritos.
We're all such a good team. We finish each other's
Diophantine equations.
Don't get too used to this kind of work. Promotions are coming up, and I think you'll be very happy.
Wait, really?
As long as nothing goes sideways today.
Oh, Mariner! Oh, all good. Yeah, I love it, actually.
actually all part of the ambiance.
On September 7th.
Maxie.
Holy f***!
They will have one chance.
Ah. We'll be friends no matter what our ranks are. That's an order.
Yes, ma'am.
To prove that they can be more.
We've worked together for years. I trust you.
Then simply...
Lower decks! Lower decks!
Slow down! Slow down!
Dude, this is nothing compared to, you know, that Pike thing we aren't supposed to talk about.
A new season of Star Trek Lower Decks.
Oh, man, am I in the game?
Move along home. Ala Moraine, count to four.
This trailer, I Barry, have you seen the trailer yet?
It is. Okay. It is. It really hypes you up, and there's some so many. Again, I need like a clipboard for all of the references that just it's like it's hard to catch them all. I feel like you know, like a person in like a money tunnel. It's really hard to gather or get what you want. It's sort of like reference. It's like remember Barry Whack-A-Mole.
I mean, Ransom and Shax in Troy and Crusher's workout outfits is, of course, the image that has been shared all across the internet since this trailer dropped. But one thing that wasn't spoiled for me about this trailer until I watched it was that Move Along Home Ala Moraine game right at the very end of the trailer.
Yeah.
Which blew my mind because, unlike a lot of people, I freaking love that episode.
Mike McMahon has definitely shown us that he is a huge Star Trek fan. His writing team handle everything with a lot of love, but that sort of irreverence as well that I think we really like as a fandom. We don't totally take ourselves very seriously, which I think is the best part about the Star Trek fandom. And so, yeah, I think this is, again, each season of Lower Decks has been a very tongue-in-cheek love story, and I'm ready for another one. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, even the meta references and stuff, the poster that was just released for it.
Yeah.
The Star Trek 4 poster, which they did with Star Trek 3 and season 3 as well. And even that trailer, the old Star Trek The Next Generation promos.
Yes, I was going to bring that up, that it's like, it sounds like the commercials from way back in the day.
Exactly. On an all new Star Trek The Next Generation. Yeah. So good. Oh, man. Can't wait for that. Well, this was another piece of news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con. Apparently, Lower Decks is headed to the big screen for Star Trek Day, and also an interactive novel is coming in 2024. So let's dig into this, because John Van Sitters, who's the vice president of Star Trek brand development, said this about Lower Decks showing in the theater on Star Trek Day. "We're very excited about the opportunity to put Lower Decks up on the big screen for fans to experience as cartoons are meant to be, on a 70-foot screen, luminescent. It's going to be great."
Yeah. At first I was wondering, I was like, is it going to be an interactive show on the big screen, or is it just episodes? I'm trying to.
So the big screen thing, it's just the first two episodes showing on the screen. Now, the interactive thing has to do with a novel that's coming out in 2024. And as far as I can tell, it's kind of like the Choose Your Own Adventure novels.
Right.
But it's a Lower Deck style novel, which it's interesting. Did you read a lot of those when you were a kid? Because they were a staple of classroom libraries when I was young.
Oh, yeah. Choose Your Own Adventure became my love with role-playing games and stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah.
And then I played that weird game Suzerain that I mentioned a ways back, which is really just a Choose Your Own Adventure, 100%.
Yeah. I remember there was even a Star Trek Choose Your Own Adventure. I think it was the competing brand, whatever that was called, that made similar type books. But there was a Star Trek one where I think you beamed aboard the Enterprise as an ensign on your first day or something like that. And of course, you're probably in a red shirt, so there were several ways in which it could have ended very badly.
Fair enough. Well, even this most latest game of Star Trek is kind of a choose your own adventure to some degree, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you can draw a direct line from those books to those Telltale style video games, as they call them. So, yeah.
No, I'm excited for it. This is an interesting piece. I would love to see more Star Trek on the big screen. I'd love to. Honestly, I've always wanted to see the motion picture on the big screen. I think that's where it belongs. Cinematic and beautiful and luminescent, as Mr. Van Sitters would say. I think that this is them trying to kind of like triangulate their brand a bit. It's very clear that people can get to theaters a lot now. People want to go to theaters, and I think this is another really good way. Like, you could catch a few people on this as well, just being like, okay, I've heard about this. I like Rick and Morty. Let's see what this is all about. I've thought about that, of like, imagine being a person getting into Lower Decks or Star Trek right now. You know, even if it is during the actor's strike, like, wow, look at the catalog that you can go back on.
Well, I mean, even that that recent episode of Strange New Worlds with the crossover, I have seen more than one comment online from people saying, like, I never watched Lower Decks, but wow, I'm going to check it out now. That was hilarious. So,
nice.
Yeah, they're doing some things to kind of try and gin up some love and support here. I actually remember back when it was the original series, they were releasing the remastered versions with the new visual effects. And one of the things they released in the theater was the Menagerie two-parter. And they put that on the big screen. And that was honestly so much fun. I loved watching classic TOS on the big screen. That was wild.
Oh, same here. It's a treat, to say the least. An absolute treat.
Yeah, I can't imagine, you know, Mariner up on a 70-foot screen. That'd be great. Well, our final piece of news is a bit of sad news. And again, we've kind of not made an episode in the last couple of weeks. This is a little bit older news, but I did want to mention it. Manny Coto, who was a writer-producer in Hollywood, known for 24, an American Horror Story, and to Star Trek fans, as having worked on the final two seasons of Star Trek Enterprise, and in fact being the showrunner for season 4 of Enterprise, which is hailed by many fans as the outright, by far, best season of that show, passed away at the age of 62 earlier this month. So definitely mourning the loss of someone who's had a huge influence on Star Trek. And also reading a bit of his bio, Star Trek had a huge influence on him and actually got him into writing as a young man. So definitely sorely missed. A very talented and creative individual there.
Yeah, well, he wrote one of my favorite Star Trek episodes of Enterprise, In a Mirror Darkly. I think he did part 2, and just absolute banger. Yeah, he was a very talented writer, director, and a producer. And he takes his place on that crew that others have joined as well. So farewell. You did a fantastic job, sir.
Absolutely. Well, that's all that I have for this week's episode. Barry, it's so great to have you back on the show and have things going again. Where can people find you? How are you navigating this current, I don't know what the word is, obstacle course of social media these days?
It's hard. I got to say, it's hard. I'm going to be a little more present again on Facebook now that I'm back home. It's just, it's not easy. It's not a place that I find myself really, really connecting or enjoying a lot on social media. There's just a lot of negativity there. So you can find me here always. And if you really need to contact me or ask me a question or something, just, you know, throw it on the chat. If I don't see it, Dan will let me know and I can pop on or something like that. But just know that, you know, I see you all. I you know, love everyone who listens, and I'm so happy that that you think our takes are worth a listen. You can find me on the Star Trek Positively Trek group pretty much exclusively if I'm anywhere on social media.
You know, there's a podcast I listen to called No Such Thing as a Fish, and it's for behind the scenes people who work on a British show called QI. And they bring their best facts, their most interesting facts of the week. And at the end of every episode, they all list their Twitter handles. And it's like, so-and-so can be found on, oh, you can find me on blah, 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 blah. And the final host, one of the women hosts, Anna Tuchinsky, she always says, you can reach me at podcast@qi.com because she refuses to go on Twitter. So you can reach us at positivelytrek@gmail.com. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be on Twitter, or the podcast's going to be on Twitter, or whatever they're calling it these days. Maybe it's my old man yells at cloud moment, but I think I'm done.
I'm feeling pretty done too. But other than that, in this time of, you know, uncertainty and everything like that, I know our motto is stay positive, but really, truly try to find things you love out there. Try to find happiness and joy. And there is joy in a little bit of resistance here and there. So,
Let's celebrate some of those times that Star Trek has really espoused that sort of thing. Like, you know, recall Rom starting that union in Bar Association. Yeah. Recall that meme of Kira charging her phaser with the caption, "This machine kills fascists." let's celebrate all of that stuff. Even the t-shirt that they put out as part of the merch for the What You Leave Behind documentary they did, where it's Kira as Che Guevara.
Yeah.
Let's celebrate all of that stuff. And, let's end it instead of stay positive. Let's end this episode with solidarity.
Solidarity.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.